Holy Ghost anointed boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B, if I've ever heard it. That's what that is. That's that sound. But the message is a whole lot better. Amen. Aren't you glad in the middle of the mess that this world is in, we can come into the house of God, laugh, smile, rejoice, praise, give glory to God, look up, get your head out of the gloom and the doom, and know that our Redeemer lives. Come on, lift up both hands, lift your voice. Let's just give some praise before we hear the word. Lord, we love you this morning. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We are ready to believe. We are ready to receive. We want to be believers, receivers, and achievers in your kingdom. And so we give you glory. We give you praise. Father, I clothe myself with humility today. The people do not need to hear what is in me. They need to hear what is in your word. They do not need to hear the voice of a man, but they need to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church. And so, Father, I pray that you would pick me up as unworthy a vessel as I may be and use me as a microphone. Speak through me your word and let your word change our lives in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. Amen and amen. Give him another clap offering of praise while you're seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be turning over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I want to read verse 44. While you're turning, let me thank you for your prayers this week for my father. He's home and he's stronger this week or this Sunday, much stronger than he was last Sunday. But let me put it this way to you. You ever reach a point where heaven's sounding sweeter all the time? But we've had a good week with Daddy, and we're just praying that if the Lord wants to lift him up and strengthen him, I want him to get up where he can walk again and preach once more, if that be the will of God. But when it comes time for him to go, whether that be now or 6 months from now or a year from now or whenever that is, we want him to go in peace. We want him to go in celebration. Want him to go in dignity. And we've had a week where I've sat by his bedside and reminisced and laughed and had a good week. And so we thank you for your prayers and your continuing prayers. How many ready for the Word of God this morning? Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. Did you hear it? Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, or you do not anticipate, or you do not expect, or you are not eagerly looking toward, the Son of Man comes. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. I think of what Isaiah said when he penned these words, "Watchmen, watchmen, what of the night?" And in the Old Testament, they would post watchmen on the walls. And periodically, someone would come by, look at one of the watchmen and say, "Watchmen, what of the night?" Because in the night, it was when the enemy was most likely to attack. And Isaiah wrote these words as someone asked the question, "Watchmen, watchman, what of the night?" And it almost seems a contradictory answer, but I declare to you today that it is the very hour in which we live. Watchman, watchman, what of the night? Here's the answer. The morning comes, but also the night. The morning comes. That's exciting if you're ready for the morning. But if you think it's dark now, ladies and gentlemen, there is a darkness hovering on the landscape and the horizon. Jesus described it this way. He said, that hour will be an hour of tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. And unless the days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. And I do not bring a negative message today, but I bring a message of the watchman. The morning's coming, but also the night. And you need to be apprised and aware. And really, this isn't the message I'd intended to bring, but the Lord stirred me late last night. I wanted to bring a message, and I've developed it on pleasure. So, well, Brother Mike, we're not into pleasure. Well, God made everything He made for His pleasure. That's how much God is into pleasure. Oh, I'd still like to preach that, but someday I will. Someday I will. I'm of the firm persuasion that a lot of people don't get saved because they've been around saved people who don't have a life or any fun at all. Anyway, we'll deal with that later. But the Lord dealt with me about preaching a message concerning the coming of the Lord. And I want to give you three main areas and then some instructions from the Word of God of the attitudes that we ought to have in the hour in which we're living. Number one, the last day culture. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 8 is a description of the culture of the last days. I believe that we're living in the last of the last days. And before we can get to the good news, we're going to have to wake up. I almost want to say it this way. It is time for some of us to click our ruby slippers together and come back from the land of Oz to the real world. I hear reports like this. Oh, things are getting better all the time. I have a word for that. Blown us. Oh, things are looking better all the time. No, they aren't. Oh, the economy is turning around. No, it isn't. Come back from the land of Oz. When our vice president tells us and other political leaders tell us, it's getting better all the time. It's getting better all the time. There's going to be peace. Let me help you with something here. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman, as with child, and they shall not escape. And while I'm a positive preacher, and while I believe in the message of faith, I do not believe the Holy Spirit is some kind of a tranquilizer to take us into an illusionary world where we live in some kind of a delusion. Evildoers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Sin is raging. The morals of our nation is debilitating to a point that we've never seen it before, and preachers are scared to death to declare that truth lest someone say they're negative. You cannot cure the disease until you identify the disease. And the last day culture is described in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then he begins to describe the society. He said, men will be lovers of their own selves. Everything that follows, and I'm going to teach a little bit today as well as preach. How many know that we need both? Everything that follows in this list that I'm about to give you comes from that catalyst. Men love their own selves. Now, don't misunderstand. I believe there is a healthy self-love. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can't love yourself properly unless you love God properly, and you can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself properly. So while there is a godly self-love, there is a false self-love that idolizes self and puts self on the throne of life and says, whatever pleases me, no matter what damage it does to others, that's where I want to live. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in that kind of a culture today. And because men will be lovers of their own selves, listen to the list. Covetous, always wanting what someone else has. Boasters. Oh, friend, we live in a humility. You almost have to look it up in a lexicon. We don't even understand what it means. Humility. Even amongst the Christian world, and I dare be careful here, But I moved in some circles that really I would rather be with a heathen than some of the boasting preachers I've been with. I wasn't too careful, was I? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, well, we live in a liberated age. We live in a new age, you know. The family is a democracy, and we should let our children express themselves. Let me explain to you that the family never was intended to be a democracy. It was intended to be a benevolent dictatorship. A dictatorship where there is lines of authority motivated by love. Disobedient to parents. Let me say this to you, too. Parents, if you let Johnny say no often enough when he's 3, by the time he's 8, you can change his name from Johnny to Osama. Because you're going to raise a terrorist. Are you praying or just sitting on the front row, Pastor? Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I'd have much rather preached a message on pleasure. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. Thanksgiving really ought to be more than a once a year event or a once a month event or a once a week event. Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. I was in an African American church and I learned how to express thanksgiving. I love the way they do it. I don't believe in a black church or a white church. I believe in a red church washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we all can learn from different ethnicities. But when I preach in African-American churches, they don't go, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. That's very Caucasian. They don't go, thank you, Lord. Am I getting it right, guys? They go, thank you. And I like thank you better than thank you. We've almost lost the concept of even being thankful to one another. I don't know about you, but when I go into a store and if I spend a significant amount of money and they say, have a nice day, the feeling I have is this: God is scheduling my day. I just gave you money. I'd rather hear, thank you. We're unthankful to parents. We're unthankful to God. We're unthankful for our liberties. We're unthankful to the men and women who shed their blood from the Revolutionary War of Concord Bridge to the War of 1812 to the Civil War to World War I to World War II to Korea to Vietnam to Desert Storm to Iraqi freedom to Afghanistan. We take it for granted. Never take for granted the opportunity you have to walk into this house today and lift your hands in freedom and liberty. And let me say something else. Don't ever assume that it cannot be removed from you faster than you think it can be removed from you. Be thankful for your freedoms. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Any man can become a father, but it takes a man with commitment to his children to be a dad. Any woman can incubate a conceived seed, but it takes a lady to be a mother and train their children in the ways of the Lord. And our society and our culture, and I can see some of you thinking, boy, it's a negative message. No, it's the reality of our nation. And is there hope? Yes. But it's going to have to come through a move of God. The elephants don't have the hope and the donkeys don't either. We need the Lion of the tribe of Judah to come back into rulership in our nation. You say, Brother Mike, that sounds like it's not separation to church and state. That never was in the founding fathers' intent. It was not in the Declaration of Independence. It was not in the Constitution. It was not in the Bill of Rights. They never had the concept that we would separate God from the United States of America. And as far as I'm concerned, it's time for the people of God, who are not only American citizens, but citizens of a kingdom, to rise up and stand up and speak up again and declare that God is the only hope for America. I had no idea all this was going to come out, but it's in me. Y'all still here? Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. I want to say something to you here. Don't believe everything 60 Minutes Larry King or Barbara Wawa says about preachers of the gospel. Boy, I thought I was going to teach. I feel a little more prophetic this morning. Don't buy into all that they tell you. The Bible said against an elder, you do not receive a negative report or an evil report except it be by two or three witnesses. And I have some word for ABC, MSNBC, CNN, and the rest of them. Clean up your own backyard. We'll take care of the church. What did you leave up here? What? It's your fault. Incontinent. That means no control. Blow up at a moment. Incontinent, fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Isaiah put it this way. They'll call good evil and evil good. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Nothing wrong with pleasures. How many understand that the Bible says in His presence there's fullness of joy, and in His right hand there are pleasures forevermore? You say, Brother Mike, that's when we get to heaven. Well, no, I look forward to heaven, and I'm going to talk about heaven. But Jesus didn't say, I'm come that you might get to heaven. He said, I'm come that you might have, present tense, abundant life, present tense, right now. It's not a bad life with love and joy and peace and meekness and temperance and the fruit of the Spirit and peace that passeth understanding and joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and no condemnation and being filled with this. I wish somebody would rejoice a little bit with the life we have now. But in our culture, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers, pleasure, more than lovers of God. Nothing wrong with pleasure as long as the pleasures are godly. Let me tell you something about that. How many can tell I really want to preach this message on pleasure? Let me tell you something about that. God is not nearly as stuck in the mud as some of His people are. When He talks about pleasure, He's not talking about, well, you got to stay away from pleasure. And I can read all the scripture. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Read the context. The pleasure she was living in was fornication. There are godly pleasures. The reason why a lot of young people don't want to come to church is they have heard a religious lie that if you get saved, there's no more fun in life till you die. And then you go to heaven and can have fun. But until then, gloom and despair and agony. I don't know. I got a little kick even out of Ruth telling about the wonderful ladies' retreat that's coming up, or ladies' focus that's coming up. I loved it when she said, I don't want to leave the legacy of my family. We were bank robbers and moonshine. I thought, Lord, I got a comedic relief right on the front row because I was watching the ex-state trooper. Both eyebrows went up. He even blushed a little bit. Say, oh, Mike, we shouldn't have fun in church. We shouldn't laugh in church. We can't. You know, the life is a serious business. My friend, it's serious enough. Let me help you with this. Schedule your pleasures. Your pain will happen without an appointment. I want to say it again, then I'll get back to this. But, oh, I want to teach this message. Maybe I'll get invited back to this church sometime, or I can teach that message. Schedule your pleasures. Your pain will happen automatically.
schedule some pleasures. Enjoy your life a little. Well, I'm afraid if I enjoy it too much. Lord, I can remember when I was growing up, Mom and Dad weren't this way, but I heard some. Lord God, if you went to a bowling alley and rolled a ball down an alley and hit some pins, the big one, Elizabeth, we're going home. That's sinful pleasure. Of course, the same ones that didn't want kids to do that had tongues long enough to wrap around a telephone pole and pull out of the ground. And what they called the phone ministry was nothing more than gossip. I had one lady, I think I've told you before, one lady came up. She said, "We're going to have to get on these teenagers. I see some of them driving away from church on Sunday night." Well, I'm thrilled they're at church on Sunday night. And she said, "I see some of them driving away on Sunday night, and the girl is sitting right next to the boy. And it looks like a two-headed driver. We're going to have to be careful about this attraction they have." I looked at her, and here was my response. Yes, we need to train them. Yes, we need to help them. Yes, we need to put up the red flags. But in today's culture, I'm thrilled to death when young ladies are attracted to young men. And young men are attracted to young ladies. Hallelujah. And she said, "Well, you know what I mean." And I said, ma'am, are you married? She said, "Yes." I said, "How many children do you have?" She said, "We had 8. I said, "Evidently there was some attraction somewhere." Come on, lighten up a little bit. Let's enjoy some good food tonight. Let's enjoy one another. Let's have a little fun in life. My God, there's enough pain going on. Now back to this. Lovers, preach both of them. I'm trying. But we have to keep the pleasures subordinate to God, whether they be godly pleasures or we need to avoid the pleasures of this world. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form. Baptist form, Methodist form, Assembly of God form, Catholic form, Charismatic form, Confused form. 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 Having a form of godliness. But here's the key when you know it's a form. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of godliness. 3 points in a poem, no power. 1 hymn, 3 courses, announcements. There's all kinds of forms. Seeker-sensitive, user-friendly forms, liturgical forms, charismatic forms, forms. And in all of those arenas, there's godly, wonderful children of God, and we thank God for all of them. But ladies and gentlemen, when people come into the sanctuary, we don't need to have a form we offer them. We need to tell them that the kid that they have that is on meth right now can be delivered and set free in a moment of time by the power of an almighty God. They've had enough form. They need some power. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with many lusts, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus took up the narrative in Matthew when he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes again. They'll be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the flood came and took them all away and they didn't know it. Now, I've heard messages preached on the terrible things they were doing. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Isn't that terrible? Marriage is honorable and all, the scripture said. Nothing wrong with getting married. Been a good opportunity for you men that are married to say amen. I'll give you another opportunity. Nothing wrong with getting married. Never miss your opportunities, gentlemen. It wasn't the fact of what they were doing. Marrying, giving in marriage, eating, drinking. That really is the emphasis of Jesus' statement. Here's the emphasis. And knew not till the flood came, took them all away. You know what he's really saying? They'll be doing what they've always done, acting the way they've always acted, taking care of themselves like they always took care of themselves, but they won't listen to a preacher by the name of Noah saying there's only one way, there's only one ark of safety. And before they know it, it's too late. My friend, I love my country, but America doesn't want to hear this message. America doesn't want to hear this message, except a man be born again, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. America right now doesn't want to hear this message. Believe on the Son and you'll have life. Believe not on the Son and you shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on you. Our culture is so full of tolerance that they do not want to hear this message. There is one name given among men whereby man must be saved. And it's not the name of Allah. And it's not the name of Buddha. And it's not the name of Obama. And it's not the name of John McCain. And it's not the name of the Baptist or the Assemblies of God. It is the name of Jesus. And if you preach what Jesus preached in America today, you will be called insensitive and intolerant. But that's what he said. Brother Mike, you're painting a dark picture. Well, the night's coming. But the morning's coming too. Then he said, last day religion. Is it all right if we just walk through this today? Last day religion. He described it. He said there would be spiritual seduction and apostasy. He said in the last days, many would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they would depart from the faith. Let me give you one illustration of it. People that were raised in the faith and knew that you have to be born again, you have to confess your sins, and suddenly the doctrine of inclusion came in. And it came through a young man, and I love him dearly. I pray for him, and I pray that he'll repent, publicly renounce it, and turn around. He knows better. But the doctrine of inclusion says, because the Bible says he was the propitiation for not only our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, that means the whole world, everybody in it, has been saved. Evangelism is just to let them know that they are. And that there's no need for confession of sin because everyone is included. Say, Brother Mike, I didn't even know that doctrine was alive. Runs rampant on the west coast of the United States. Runs rampant. That's a doctrine of a devil. A doctrine of it. I'm not talking about those that preach it. I'm talking about it came from the devil. A doctrine of a devil is that works can get you into heaven. That's a demonic doctrine. A demonic doctrine is that religious affiliation can get you into heaven. That's a demonic doctrine. And we're surrounded with demonic doctrine. And it's important that we understand there'll be spiritual seduction. And the Bible said, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. And if there was ever a time that we need to be sharp in the word, it's now. He said this. He said, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. How many know we're living in an iniquity-full generation? What's the message to the church? Stay on fire. Stay close to God. Don't get pulled into their junk. Don't get pulled into the world. Don't let your love wax cold. Jesus said to the Ephesian church, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Not because you've lost it, but because you've left it. He said, repent. In other words, change your mind and come back to your first love, producing your first works, or I'll remove your candlestick. Oh, friend, we need to be in love with Jesus again. We need to be in love with the Father, need to be in love with the Holy Spirit. To love him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. Next, in the religious world, he said there would be a great falling away. He said before the Antichrist is revealed, there would be a great falling away. The word is apostasy. It means to move from a place of security to a place of insecurity, to remove from one place and go to another place. And we see a great falling away today. Don't worry, we're about to get to the morning come. But then it says this, there will be a modified gospel preached. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll never forget when I stood in E.S. Williams Chapel, Central Bible College, to be ordained. There was a tornado that night and a storm. I have no idea what that says about my ministry, but that's what happened. And the preaching went forth, and I walked down, and I stood in front of a presbyter at that time who laid hands on me. You'll be interested to know who it was, Gary Denbo. And I stood in front of Brother Gary. We'd worked together, and he laid his hands on me, and here was the charge given to me, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and give heed unto fables. But watch thou in all things, make full proof of your ministry, do the work of an evangelist. My friend, we're living in that day. That's why you should be grateful when pastor teaches and preaches the word of God. Not this word. I'm okay, you're okay. Fact is, none of us are okay. Even those that are saved aren't okay. Well, I think I am. That proves you're not. We're still growing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're never going to be totally okay until we see Him. Now we have a position of sanctification in Christ, but our performance is constantly progressing. Yeah. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. How many are grateful? But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. What's that mean? Until He appears, you're not totally like Him yet. Which means you're not okay. I'm not okay. Meaning we need to give one another some grace, some mercy, cut one another some slack, and help each other to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and understand that we're moving toward perfection, but we aren't there yet. Pastor Sam left a note up here, told me to announce it. Please tell the sanctuary there are no perfect people here. Please inform them that the choir has serious flaws. I'm having trouble reading this. Please inform them that the only one that is close to perfect here is Ruth. Okay, I got it. Made points there, didn't you? No, he didn't leave me a note. How many know that we're saved by grace, but we're not okay yet? But we're moving toward okay. And we're a lot better than we used to be. Hallelujah. But understand that this is the kind of gospel that wants to be heard in America today. I'm okay, you're okay. God has a plan for your life, and it's going to come to pass no matter what. Baloney! God has a plan for your life, but you decide whether it comes to pass. God doesn't determine my destiny. I decide whether I'm going to humble myself to Him and reach the destiny He's planned. Oh, God, don't mention in seeker-sensitive, user-friendly congregations the word sin. Say that with me. Sin. Oh, God. We don't talk about sin here. That's why your church is full of it. Hello? Don't worry, the morning's coming. But right now, I'm shining light into darkness. The Bible said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The word reprove there means shine the light and expose it so it can get better. Well, we really don't want to call it sin, do we? We have other names. I used to be a thief. Now I'm a misappropriator of funds. I was a robber. But now I am an embezzler. Sounds better. And if you're in politics, it's a jobs bill. Whew. Anyway. And you just go on. It's free love. We're in a free love relationship. Let me give you the Bible term for the free love relationship. Fornication. Come on, keep breathing in and out. I mean, I'm amazed. And I know that it's preached here, but I travel this nation. I travel around the world. And let me tell you the truth. Around the world, the Bible's being preached. But in America, we're trying to modify it. Well, it's an alternative lifestyle. It's an alternative lifestyle. It's an alternative lifestyle. No, the Bible calls it sodomy. Notice we get quiet. That's what the Bible calls it. It doesn't call it gay. It doesn't call it that. Brother Mike, don't you love those people? Absolutely. Can't those people be saved? Yes. Shouldn't we reach out to those people? Without a question. But you're not going to help them by going along with them saying, well, it's all right. God made you that way. Well, if he did, he's a liar. If God made you that way and then told you not to be that way, he is a liar and a manipulator, and we should close this church, sell this building, and never preach from this book again. But he is not a liar. Say, Brother Mike, if you keep preaching things like this, the government may take away your, whatever it is, your recognition. I have some word for them. The government didn't call me. Washington didn't ordain me. I was called by a higher power than the president or the senators. I was called by a living God, and I will not stand before the president, and I will not stand before the Congress. But there will be a day when I stand before a holy God that called me to declare truth, nothing but the truth and the whole truth. And I failed in a lot of ways, and I have no doubt that I come short. And when I've done my best, I'm an unprofitable servant. But if there's one thing I want to do, is when I stand before him, be able to say, I declared this word without compromise or fear. Oh, I got to get to the morning. How many can tell we're living in a nighttime? Look at the third area, geopolitical atmosphere of the last days. He said, you'll know the last days is coming when Israel is restored to Palestine. 1948, and I don't have time to give all the scriptures, but he said, when Israel comes back into Palestine. And I want to say something to Washington today. Go ahead, send them the CD. Palestine does not belong to the Hittites, the Hevites, or the Canaanites. It belongs to the seed of Abraham. And we love the Palestinians. Many Christian ministries are helping the Palestinians. We believe that God loves every Palestinian just like he loves every Jew. This is not a personal thing. This is a geopolitical thing. And God said, I gave that land to the descendants of Abraham through Isaac forever. And he didn't say he was going to check with the United Nations on it. And it belongs to Israel. I don't know if I'll ever be, will I ever be welcome back after this message? Say, well, Brother Mike, you're really taking some stands. No, I'm just reporting. I'm just reporting. He said, when you see Israel back in the land. Then he said, when you see Israel back in Jerusalem. 1967. 600 years of crusades, and Christendom, quote unquote, never took back Jerusalem. 7 days total, really 6 days, and Israel took back Jerusalem. Let me give you a little hint. Jesus said, Jerusalem will be trodden down under the foot of Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And then he said, when you see the fig tree blossoming and sending forth her shoots. And I believe the fig tree is not just Israel, but more specifically Jerusalem. That's why Jerusalem is a snare to the whole earth. That's why the argument is Jerusalem. Let me ask you a question. What right does the United States have to tell Israel where it can build in its own capital? No more right than Ethiopia has to tell us where we can build in Washington, D.C. We have no right. I said we have no right. Wars and rumors of wars. Israel will be isolated. And it's happening today. Israel will be isolated. Thank God for a wonderful Missouri man by the name of Harry S. Truman, who at the end of World War II, and his was the only finger on the atomic button at that time, and Israel went back into the land. They were surrounded by enemies. And his advisor said, don't recognize Israel as a sovereign nation. It'll be political suicide. And he at one time had been a member of a very anti-Semitic group. But God had dealt with his heart. And every advisor stood in the Oval Office and said, Harry Truman, if you sign that and recognize Israel as a nation, it will be political suicide. He said, I may be living in Independence, Missouri, but while I'm here, I'm going to do that which is right. And he took a pen and he signed it. And in one signature, everybody in the world understood. Israel has a big brother. His name is Harry. He's kin to Uncle Sam. He just pushed the button twice. And you don't really want to mess with a Missouri boy. That's why Israel's in the land today. Somewhat different today. Somewhat different today. Said somewhat different today. I'm going to say something here. This isn't a political message. I don't care if you call yourself a donkey or an elephant, a Democrat or Republican. It is time God's people started reading what's in this book and start reading what is in political platforms. And if the Democrats line up more with it, vote for them. If the Republicans line up more with it, vote for them. But America needs to know the church isn't gone yet. We're still here. We're still here. Let me tell you something else. Stop looking to the government for your relief. Stop looking to the government for your answer. You don't have a Jehovah government. You have a Jehovah Jireh. And I'm not against government helping people that need help, but if they'd get off our backs, the church would do it better than they would. I feel like fighting today. I just feel like fighting. Karen's saying, oh, God, I wish I'd have brought my car. Y'all still with me? I got about 15 more minutes. Come on, y'all still here? Then he said, Ezekiel chapter 37, he said, Israel will come alive again. I love what he did. He took Ezekiel out, Ezekiel 38. He took him out into a valley of dry bones. God's very visual. And he showed the prophet a valley full of dry bones. They were very many and they were very dry and they were all disjointed. And he said to Ezekiel, Zeke, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, O Lord, thou knowest. I've felt that way in a lot of churches I've been. Can they live? Only you know. Sanctuary in one of them. Praise God. He said, prophesy to the bones. You've never lived till you've preached to a bunch of bones. and he preached to bones. And the Bible said there was a noise and a shaking and a rattling, and bone began to come to its bone until they stood an army of skeletons, and then sinew and muscle and flesh came on, but there was no breath in them. And then he said, prophesy to the four winds, come, breathe upon these slain that they may live. And he preached to the wind, and the Spirit of God entered in. And he said, what does all this mean? They've come to life. And God said, these are the lost, dispersed, dead, dry bones of Israel. But he said, in the last days, now come on, get a hold of this, out of a pile of bones, Israel's going to come back together. It's interesting, if you study Southern gospel music back in the end of World War II, a wonderful African-American spiritual was resurrected and sung by almost every quartet in the land. The foot bone connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone's connected to the leg bone. The leg bone's connected to the knee bone. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. Come on, some of you know it. Them bones, them bones, them. Dry bones, them bones, them bones, them. Dry bones, them bones, them bones, them. Dry bones, oh, hear the word of the Lord. See, what's that have to do with Israel? It's exactly what God said would happen. And our men walked into places like Treblinka, Dachau, Auschwitz, where 12,000 a day in Auschwitz were gassed and burned, but they couldn't get rid of the bones. And when our GIs walked in, they saw heaps of bones. But in 1948, bone began to come to bone. And the sons and daughters of those that had died in the camps said, we will not die again under a tyrant in Europe. We will go back to Israel. And they got on everything that could float. Britain said, we won't let you land. But they landed. The Arab states said, you can't be here. But in 1948, the Star of David fluttered over Ben-Gurion Airport again. And God gave an indication to the planet. When you see Israel come back and the fig tree blossoming, this generation shall not all pass away till all be fulfilled. We're living in that day. But Ezekiel 38 then, 37 and 39 says, Gog and Magog, I'm not boring you, am I, with prophecy? Gog and Magog, the chief prince of Meshech. Meshech is the ancient name of Moscow. And of Tubal. Tubal is the ancient name of Tobolsk, the capital of Siberia in Russia. He said, I will put a thought in their mind, and I will bring them down, and they will ally with Persia. Well, who is Persia? Iran. Last week, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal unloaded nuclear energy in Persia. And the Bible said they will blend together and they will come down from the north against Israel. And you say, well, Brother Mike, they'll never be able to do it. America will stop it. Read Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39. It says, they that dwell carelessly in the continents of the West will only challenge Russia and the pan-Arab Islamic group that comes against Israel diplomatically, but not militarily. Read it. We're reaching those days. We're reaching those days. We are there. I said, Brother Mike, don't you have any hope at the end of this thing? It looks dark. It's getting darker. The night's here, and the night is coming, but the morning's coming too. I said, the morning's coming too. Now, very quickly, we'll give you some attitudes you need to have. Then I'll close. You still with me? Here's what the Bible says. He said, when you're living in these last days, here's what you do. Number one, stay pure. Say that with me. Stay pure. Say it again. Stay pure. The Bible says the coming of the Lord is a blessed, happy hope. And he that has this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. I don't have a lot of time to deal with this friend, but let me go to the second one. Number two, don't be seduced and deceived. Say that with me. Don't be seduced and deceived. Say it again. Don't be seduced and deceived. How do you keep from it? A lady worked where they made dollar bills and $100 bills and $10 bills and legal currency for 30 years. She handled new money all the time, and she retired after 30 years. She went into a bank, cashed her check, got several $100s and hundreds. They brought it to her, counted it out in her hand, and she said, "I can't take this. This money's counterfeit." And the teller said, "How would you know?" She said, "Go get the manager." She said, "This money's counterfeit." He said, "Well, surely not. How would you know?" And they checked it. It was counterfeit. And they said, "How would a little lady like you know?" She said, "When you have felt the real for 30 years, one touch of the phony is immediately recognizable." How are you not going to be deceived? Keep touching the real. I said, keep touching the real. Keep filling your heart. Keep filling your mind where you can't be moved. I want to say something else. Stop being conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't have a lot of time to deal with this, but I want to say it. God, give us some more prophetic preaching that will stand and say this. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and stop touching the unclean thing. Listen, friend, you don't have to look like the world, sound like the world, smell like the world, like what the world likes. You've been translated from this world into a kingdom of light. And holiness has never gone out of practice. Holiness is not a set of religious rules and legalisms. But I'm amazed at how much the church wants to be like the world. Why would you want to? They're as confused as a termite in a wooden yo-yo. Why would you want to be like the world? Why would you want to be like the world? Preachers say, "I've got to look like the world, sound like the world, or the world won't come." Why would the world want to come to hear the world? They hear the world 6 days a week. They want to come to hear another message. They want to come to hear a new message. Not a message of coping, but a message of conquering. Not a message of maybe you can learn to cope with this the rest of your life, but no, a message that God can deliver you from the pits of depression and you won't have to cope with it, but you can live above it. Third, keep the anointing. Five foolish virgins let the fire go out and the oil burn down. Don't do it. Fourth, look up. Say that with me. Look up. Say it again. Look up. Stop looking down, folks. But Brother Mike, I tell you, all this stuff's going on. There's wars and rumors of war, and there's famine, and there's pestilence in diverse places. All the stuff you've been talking about, and oh, it's terrible. What does the Lord have to say about it? Here's what he says. When you see these things beginning to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads. Not this. Oh, God. Oh, God, how are we going to make it? Oh, God, how are we going to make it? Oh, God. Oh, Lord, how are we going to make it? Not that. No, not that. Well, there's war coming in the Middle East. Yeah. Well, sin's abounding. Yeah. Perversion's running rampant. Yeah. Look up. Look up. I will look unto the hills, not unto the valleys. I will look unto the hills from whence my help cometh. My help comes from the Lord. He'll not suffer my foot to be moved. He, the keeper of Israel, doesn't slumber and sleep. Look up and next, rejoice. Rejoice. Oh, come on, say it with me. Rejoice. Doesn't make any difference what all's going on. We are in the hands of an eternal God. We're in the hands of the King of glory. He is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. What he's promised to perform. Oh, it's time that a negative world hears a rejoicing church. Don't let fear grip you. Don't let fear grip you. And finally, fulfill your assignment. Stay on track. I've been sitting with Daddy this week and thinking of songs. What will it be when we get over yonder? The morning's coming. And join the throng upon that glassy sea. We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's been a lie. We meant it well, but really it's not true. When we have said this, you can become so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. That's not true. You can become so worldly minded that you're of no heavenly good. Now you can become ultra spiritual and ultra religious and be of no earthly good. But you can't think about heaven too much. The Bible says if you be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. So I close with this. I want to tell you, and I thought of some songs, and they've been going over and over in my mind this week. When at last I see the face of Jesus, before whose image all other loves will flee. And when we crown Him Lord of all, I'm going to be there. This is what heaven means to me. Because you see, Paul put it this way, ladies and gentlemen. If we have hope only in this world, we're of all men most miserable. So I've told you the night is here. And I've told you what we need to do to be light in the world. But as I close, I want to tell you that the morning's coming. I want to tell you that the morning is coming. For we that are alive shall not prevent those which are asleep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them that sleep in Jesus will also Christ bring with Him. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. For behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruptible will put on incorruption, and then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The morning's coming, church. I said the morning's coming, church. The morning's coming, church. So as I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on. Through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. Oh, I wish somebody rejoiced with me today. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. I'm watching for the coming of the glad millennial day when our blessed Lord will come and catch His waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray. For our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, I wish some of you would act Pentecostal this morning. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. I'm sorry, but I just been thinking of songs this week. I'm closing, but can I just tell you, onward, onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. Soon we'll tread on streets of gold. Lo, let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. For just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and we'll shout the victory. Oh, I wish somebody would shout a little now. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. They tell me of a home far away. They tell me of a land where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Just wait till you see my brand new home. I don't know how some of you sit there. Lord God, I'm about to throw the pulpit. Hallelujah. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. No cerebral palsy there. No weakened body there. No need for a scooter because you can't walk anymore there. No need for oxygen there. No need. No need. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days. Watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Master calls me to that great home on high, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll shout and sing the story way up there on high. There with my blessed Redeemer, never more to die. Oh, yeah, I'll live in glory by and by. Y'all can shout anytime you'd like. It's perfectly in order. And then I thought of this one, and I'll close. I dreamed of a city called heaven, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, holy. The angels all met me there. You see, they showed me from mansion to mansion. And oh, the sights I saw. But I said, I want to see Jesus. He is the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy.
holy. Then I clapped my hands and sang, glory, glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, holy.
If you know it, sing it. If not, just worship Him.
Holy, holy, I clapped my hands and sang, glory, glory to the Son of God.
Oh, lift your hands and your voice and begin to praise Him. Come on. Come on, if heaven is real to you, if heaven is real to you, come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. The morning is coming. The morning is coming. The morning is coming. All church, worship Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The morning is coming. The morning is coming. The morning is coming. The morning is coming.